From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling talks to Dr. Claude Gagne from the New York Institute of Technology about next-generation nucleic acid microarrays.
Dr. Claude Gagne is an associate professor in the Department of Life Sciences at the New York Institute of Technology's School of Health Professionals. He's based in Old Westbury, New York. Dr. Gagne holds a B.S. in biology from St. Peter's College, an M.S. in anatomy and biochemistry from Fairleigh Dickinson University, and a Ph.D. in anatomy from New York University. His research involves the examination of B-DNA, Z-DNA, triplex DNA, and quadruplex DNA in normal and abnormal tissues. Dr. Gagne and his team recently made a major advance in microarray technologies through their discovery of how to immobilize intact double-stranded, multi-stranded, or alternative DNA and RNA on one microarray. Dr. Gagne, why is your new nucleic acid microarray such a novel development?
Well, I would characterize it as being the next generation of DNA microarrays, because it allows the investigator to look at nucleic acids that are intact, unaltered, and non-denatured. You know, the basic way that DNA microarrays work are that, you know, you have a single piece of single-stranded DNA, and then it hybridizes with another piece of DNA so that you sort of look at gene expression. Well, what makes my DNA microarray novel is that we're placing the DNA, RNA, whatever, onto the substrate surface intact so that researchers can experiment with the DNA, I guess, in a way similar to what would be within a cell.
What will this microarray allow scientists to do differently than from the current range of available microarrays?
It goes beyond gene expression. In other words, it'll allow scientists to immobilize double-stranded DNA intact, right? And especially alternative forms of nucleic acids, such as left-handed Z-DNA and triplex DNA and quadruplex DNA, which are found at the caps of chromosomes, and even certain segments of genes, so that, let's say, someone who's involved in basic research can now perform an enormous amount of experiments looking at the structure and function of DNA under different environmental conditions.
How will this new type of microarray assist biotech and pharmaceutical companies in new drug discovery and development?
Well, you know, as I said before, your sort of average scientist who's a molecular biologist will be using this for basic DNA, RNA, and protein research. But pharmaceutical companies, biotech companies, I believe are going to be able to use this novel microarray to develop new drugs. One of the problems now in terms of drug development is that people are very limited in the way they think about the target sites. You know, everything is just DNA. Well, I think you have to take that a step further to look at the different structures of DNA. So this microarray will allow for the development of new drugs that target specific types of DNA, such as cruciform DNA, Z-DNA, Z-RNA, triplex DNA, quadruplex DNA. And it's also going to help in lowering costs of R&D for the pharmaceutical companies, because they can perform less animal-oriented research, you know, using animal models with these DNA microarrays that have intact nucleic acids. And also, I believe it's going to help in terms of locating SNPs, single nucleotide polymorphisms, that occur in multi-stranded nucleic acids, which is a whole new area of research.
You were also able to create a novel surface that increases the adherence of DNA to a microarray. Why is this important?
One of the problems with DNA microarrays is, you know, if a scientist is using a protocol that involves an extended period of time, you know, some of the DNA may fall off, and then you have to just redo the whole experiment. I've been able to develop a substrate surface that has a larger surface area, and it will allow for stronger chemical bonds so that a scientist will be able to perform longer experiments where the DNA is being exposed to chemicals or temperature without falling off.
It's been reported that your lab has also developed two techniques, one called transitional structural chemogenomics and the other transitional structural chemoproteomics. Can you describe these technologies and explain how they might be able to impact life science research and development?
Sure. Transitional structural chemogenomics and transitional structural chemoproteomics, they're the first practical applications of this novel DNA microarray technology. What they do is, well, for instance, the transitional structural chemogenomics allows for the placement of DNA onto a microarray, and by changing the environment, we allow the DNA to undergo structural transitions. For instance, you initially put double-stranded DNA on, change the environment, and it makes a transition from right-handed dDNA to left-handed zDNA. So this is going to help in terms of discovering new nucleic acid-based target sites.
And what about transitional structural chemoproteomics?
Basically, this is a technique in which you'll immobilize DNA onto the microarray, and by looking at the post-translational modifications that take place in the life of a protein, like a DNA binding protein, you can determine at what stage a protein will bind to, let's say, double-stranded, triple, or four-stranded DNA, so that we can develop life maps of proteins. In other words, a protein binds to DNA at a certain point in time, and now you can target a drug to it.
And how are you using these new technologies in your own research projects?
We're using them in a couple of different projects that we have in our lab. We're looking at the P53 gene and its mutated forms, and some of the mutated forms contain left-handed zDNA. So we are trying to target the left-handed zDNA in terms of developing drugs that will bind to it and therefore shut off the gene. We're also looking at triplex and quadruplex DNA, so we've developed triplex DNA microarrays, quadruplex DNA microarrays, being able to, let's say, fix the triplex DNA or manipulate it in some way. But the technique also allows for another area of research. We're also working with some genes that are involved in hemophilia, and we found that even just a 10 to 20% increase in the level of factor 9 can alleviate severe hemophilia. So we can use the transitional structural chemogenomics or transitional structural chemoproteomics to actually turn on a gene. So the techniques can be used to turn genes off when they're bad or turn genes on when they need it to be enhanced a little.
So to summarize, a lot of this recent work that's been going on in your lab, basically a next-generation microarray and a new surface that increases the adherence of DNA to the microarray, and these new techniques you developed. If you were to summarize all of this, what's the overall message in terms of what all of this is going to mean for life science research?
Well, I think life science researchers need to stop thinking in terms of DNA as being a static, one-dimensional molecule. I think they need to look at DNA as a very vibrant molecule that undergoes, you know, structural transitions. It changes from dDNA to zDNA. They also have to realize that there are many alternative or exotic forms of nucleic acids, and that in terms of drug development, we now have to start to think about developing drugs that target these exotic, these rare forms of nucleic acids.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. Any opinions on this week's podcast? Please go to www.genengnews.com/blog and give us your thoughts. We would also like to read your response to the following question. What other practical applications might be possible with Dr. Gagne's new nucleic acid microarray? Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.